William Wallace had nothing on the Two Guys Talking podcast. Join Two Guys as they bring home true entertainment freedom on the Two Guys Talking podcast network.
Welcome to Green Gab. Today, it's me, Marla Esser, the Green Home Coach, here with my intellectual partner in green. We have been renamed, by the way,
iPigs.
Tony Pratt from the Sound Room. Oh my gosh, I wish you guys could be a fly on the wall when we are sitting here on breaks.
You know, I really don't.
Oh, come on, it's funny.
It is very funny.
You wonder why we come on laughing later on.
Remember what I said first time I was on? Our conversations were a little bit intellectual.
A little bit
and
crazy.
A little bit cartoonish.
This is so true.
The breaks are the cartoonish part.
So at any rate, we're here to gab green today about green homes, green living, and green companies. It's just the two of us today, so we thought we'd hit a topic that really is kind of near and dear to both of our hearts.
Yes.
And I think we can do this without getting too intellectual.
Well, we should be able to.
So I'm going to call it the art of BS.
Art of BS. Building science.
Yeah, that's not the BS y'all were thinking of, is it? And you know, this is something that, being a lady in the construction industry, not something people necessarily think about when they look at a woman in the industry at first. But I got to tell you, there's an awful lot of women that are in the industry and are really, really knowledgeable about this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at most major subcontractors nowadays, they do have a female or a woman that's involved in the design process, the selection process. You know, so it's not really that strange to see it anymore.
Oh, come on. Strange? Really? You said that?
Back in the day, it would have been.
Oh, now, come on.
When I first came into the industry, I never saw a woman anywhere.
Yeah, I think I decided to kind of be in the man's world, quote unquote. Y'all see my air quotes, right? But I was in all the math and science classes in high school. I went on to become an engineering student. And then I went to work in selling technology. So for some reason, I think I must have thought I had something to prove. But coming into the construction industry, one of the things I'm really learning is that the more, and I think this is true with any industry, the more diverse the team is, the more perspectives you have, the better the total outcome is. And I think BS, building science, is just the same. And you get a lot more balanced of an approach when you can think of a lot of different perspectives.
Well, I would agree with that. And, you know, I had the exact same, more of an opposite introduction to the trades and construction. But then I went through more as a designer, and I was in a female-dominated industry.
So I was the exact opposite. That's why we get along so well together. You've got a high feminine. That's meant in a loving way. You know that.
I understand that. I have a lot of, you know, worked at a company where I had a lot of mothers. Okay.
There you go.
You know, I was just like the little son they never had. And it was probably a good thing. But I came on to that kind of a tract because they needed to expand their horizons and expand their reach into more of the construction trade. Mm. And it was easier for me to kind of spearhead that than it was for any of them. But I still got a lot of influences from them as far as how I looked at projects and you know, the approach to them.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective.
Most people are either right-brained or left-brained, and you have to be able to look at projects with both sides of the brain.
This is very true. And for any of y'all that have been listening to a number of these podcasts, we've hit topics all over the place. But one of the things that we really wanted to strive to bring to the mainstream is that there's so many things that go into a home and a community, and each of those can have a little bit of a green tent, if you will.
Oh, absolutely.
And have a better impact on us personally, families, our homes, where we live, our communities, not to mention the world. But it doesn't have to be an all or nothing proposition.
Oh, no. And it's not just the house itself. It's the whole site plan for the subdivision or community that it all starts with.
Right.
I mean, could it be like a new town? Is it a walking community? Is it going to be a mixed use where you have all the amenities that you could think of, whether it's post office inside the community, mm-hmm. shops and retail and, you know, grocery stores inside the community? You know, that's a wonderful subdivision to look at because it's designed so you don't even need a car
right.
to wander around the subdivision on the weekends. And everything is there for you, whether it's going down the street to the restaurant or going over to a sand volleyball pit to play a game. It just doesn't matter. It's made so you could be active, interact with all of your neighbors, and still leave less of a carbon footprint than more of a traditional
less
subdivision.
Of an impact. So building science specifically talks about the building, the structure.
Correct.
And in our industry, the home building industry, that's the home, unless it's a multifamily environment, in
right.
which it might be a building.
Usually we mean, when we say the home, it is a single family structure.
Although the same principles apply if it's
absolutely.
A multifamily structure. So they absolutely apply. It's just a little bit different scale on how you look at it. And actually, back on episode 2, we did kind of a little introduction to what the basics are of a green home. The 5 physical categories of things that we look at. And all of those really kind of help to set the tone for how building science plays a part in it. And I think one of the things that has become so particularly noticeable right now is the what I call the art of the science. So actually understanding and getting and creating a structure that takes advantage of science and building science and advanced technologies and advanced products. Because if you look back to how we built a house 100 years ago, or
well,
even 50
day.
Years ago.
Still night and day. 20
right.
years ago,
right.
night and day.
And here, where we live in St. Louis, a lot of homes that were built around the turn of the century, the 1900s, not the 2000s, they were still heating a lot of homes with coal.
Oh, absolutely. My house has a coal bin in it.
Oh, it still does?
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of these homes were built to be, quote unquote, leaky.
Yes.
Because they had to, because of the coal. So just by virtue of what we've changed to use to heat our homes has changed how we can build our homes. To retrofit one of these older homes here, you know, it takes some serious understanding of the science of the materials and what can and can be done in these older homes. And it's still, I think, so worth preserving them. But really, you got to work with somebody that really understands this stuff.
Right. And there are ways of preserving the look and the aesthetics of the home and still modernizing it up to code.
Right.
But it does take planning, and it does take a true professional in the industry, somebody that's going to be able to look at it and say, okay, here's the start. This is the first step. If we do this step, this step, this step, you're still going to have this beautiful front face structure that, you know, is so aesthetically pleasing, is so turn of the century. But yet, when you look at how the house performs, that's where it's going to be up to date in the modern technology.
Have you been in some of these houses down here? Where we record is actually in the kind of south of downtown area of St. Louis. So a lot of older brickstones and townhomes down here. And there's a few builders down here and remodelers that are basically rebuilding the homes from the outside in.
Right.
So they're just leaving the brick structure and then they're
just
building.
Total gut rehabs.
Right. So even Energy Star level, they're looking at. Matter of fact, the building we're sitting in was done that way. And you'd never guess coming inside
because
it's
beautiful. No, because
beautiful
it looks
inside.
Like it's still, you know, that 19th yeah. century brick structure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really cool what we can do with an application of science. When we come back from break, I want to dig in a little bit more about how we can help people understand that.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners, as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
Shield was introduced in 1965 in an edition of Strange Tales featuring Nick Fury. It was billed inside comic books as the greatest action thriller of all time. And it's safe to say that secret acronymed International Intelligence Collection endeavors would never be the same. Another, even greater episodic series is ready to take the greatest action thriller of all time mantle. And we hope you'll be listening. Don't miss the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, reviewing each and every episode of ABC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. bullet point by bullet point. Check it all out right now at agentsofshieldpodcast.com. That's agentsofshieldpodcast.com.
Well, it's back to gabbing with the eye pigs. I think that's going to stick. Sam just made it stick, the eye pigs.
Good job, Sam. You're fired.
You have to understand, what did I walk in today but with my Kermit bag, right?
Dressed in green.
Yeah, and I'm dressed in green, my signature green, but my Kermit bag that says it's easy to be green. Of course, I've crossed out the not. So I think we're on a theme here.
Yeah.
Although I've refused to be Miss Piggy.
And it took Sam to do the acronym of Intellectual Partners in Green.
That's too funny. Hey, if we make y'all laugh today, then it's worth every moment.
That's half the battle right there.
There's nothing more fun than picking on someone that you know is going to come back at you with something even better.
I need to get one of those.
Well, you are it. You are it. So we were talking about building science and how the art of building science really comes to be so important, not only in green building, but in any building.
Any building, yeah.
And, you know, I think change is hard for all of us. Mm-hmm. And then the home building industry, it's definitely that way as well. And because so many home builders tend to be smaller businesses or family businesses, I think that's felt even more. Because I think we, you know, a lot of us, and I'm a small business, so you're in a small business, we get that. And it's hard to put in the time and the education and the know-how to know how to go take advantage of some of this stuff. But it's so key to taking that leap.
You know, but I think what you have to look at is it change for just the simple sake of changing, or is it changing because of innovation?
Good point.
You know, while, yes, we are both in small businesses, we both see things a little differently sometimes in the fact that, you know, I work in a company that deals with technology.
Right.
You know, it's all cutting edge. Our customers are the first adapters and the first adopters. So as new technology comes in, it's just expected that we keep up.
Yeah, it's like you wouldn't want to go to a doctor that didn't know the latest techniques.
And
yeah.
I think it's the same thing with more of the custom builders, especially because they take the time to do all the little details. You know, we talked about in the last segment, these older houses were made to breathe all because of the coal bin and coal-fired energy that was, you know, heating these houses. Well, look at just simple steps that, you know, certain builders are doing now where they caulk all the joints in the house.
Right.
Some simple little step like that has a huge impact on the house.
Oh, yeah.
It no longer allows it to breathe like it did. It helps to tighten that building envelope.
Well, and then there's the fear, especially for builders that have been building the same with the same materials and basically in the same way for a long time. There's this fear that the house will be too tight. And one of the things I find I'm having a conversation with a lot of people in the building industry about is that people need to breathe, not a house.
Correct.
So there has to be this conversation about ventilation. So, as I call it, the hidden V in HVAC, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. And ventilation is key. But one of the big things that we've really started recognizing, and this is a big piece of what comes up with building science, is that you have to pay attention to all sides of the equation.
Absolutely.
So what goes in must go out.
And absolutely.
If, you know, what goes up must come down. So fresh air needs to come in and not so fresh air needs to go out. Well, in the old days, that was the house was leaky. So that's where your fresh air came in.
Right.
But you were paying to heat all the fresh air that came in.
You know, you almost have to look at the house as a living organism.
Yeah, as a system.
You have comparable systems in the human body to the house now.
Oh, my gosh.
And in reality, yes, you have to think it that way. The true ventilation of the house, it operates the exact same way our lungs do.
I found my grandmother's science book. Actually, I think my mom gave it to me. And there was a story in the beginning of the science book that was written exactly to that analogy.
Yeah.
It was the other way around. It was talking about how the body was like a house, but it was the exact same analogy. It was perfect. Sorry, that was my oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the system is HVAC, electric, plumbing.
Water.
You name it.
Yeah.
There's a comparable human body element and system right there.
Okay, so the health and wellness industry is going crazy right now.
Absolutely.
About what's our course, not that we're necessarily all taking advantage of it, but we know enough about what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. So one of the next conversations that I hear a lot of people having is, well, if I'm going to be concerned about what I'm putting in my body and on my body, then the next step is where my body is.
Yeah, where it's domiciled.
In a home. So if nothing else, the conversation about the health and wellness perspective in how we relate to our homes has really started changing. This is where building science can really play a really wonderful part, just like medical science, holistic science, whatever your particular thing is, can play a big part to your body. Building science can play a big part to your home.
I would agree with that. You know, it comes back to, we're just going to stick on the air quality issue.
Okay,
because
that's a good one.
We're talking about it. You know, if you as the home buyer and, you know, the person that wants to build a house understands that in today's world, we build a house tighter. So the envelope is much tighter, which means the house is not going to breathe on its own. So you understand that there's what's known as air exchange. That's where you bring in fresh air.
Right.
And get rid of older air.
Right.
You want to make sure that there's so many exchanges per hour, so many exchanges of fresh air per day. Just like
taking
us
breaths.
Taking a breath.
Got it.
Okay. Now, once you understand that, well, as a person taking a breath, I want to breathe in fresh air. I want to breathe in clean air. Well, it's the same thing. We want that fresh air to come in, but we also want to make sure that there's nothing inside the house that we would consider toxic.
Right.
The old way of doing things, the old materials that we didn't worry about, whether it off-gassed something that we would consider toxic, something I don't want to take a big old breath of as I'm getting ready to go underwater.
Right.
And have that inside of me. I want to make sure whatever we're putting ourselves in contact with is clean, untoxic, and healthy.
Oh, I had a personal experience with this recently where I was staying in a place that I was getting chronic headaches.
Oh, the headaches. Yeah. I remember telling you about this.
Yeah. And it's, you know, fresh air would clear them up after a few hours.
Was it an older?
No, it was a brand new structure.
Really?
And ironically, they were billing it as energy efficient, but it was
energy efficient, but not sustainable.
Correct. Because I'm pretty sure it was either, I think it was probably the glues that they used for the flooring.
Most likely. That's the first thing.
And it was something I could smell.
The glue, the paint,
yeah.
If there was any kind of stain for wood, all those things have, like we talked about, the VOCs.
And how many people you hear of it with sick building syndrome? Which, you know, not trying to scare everyone, but this stuff matters is what we're really trying to get the point across. And, you know, we're coming up here on a break, but when we come back, I want to definitely talk through the building envelope and the systems, because those are probably the two most crucial part of building science and where the biggest changes have come about.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of materials that also have changed quite a bit, but that could be like 3 or 5 or 18 more shows. But definitely let's chat a little bit more about that. Oh, wait, gab a little bit more about that
when we
come back from break.
Hi, this is Art Maines from Scammercast.com, where we educate, inform, and protect our elders and those who care for them on the Two Guys Talking podcast network.
Look, the voiceover industry isn't for everyone, but why not give it a shot and learn? Start your voiceover adventure at the Voice Farm Voiceover Academy. Don't start and end up in the dark when it comes to commercial voiceover. Start outside the box with your voice box at The Voice Farm today. VoiceFarmers.com. That's VoiceFarmers.com.
Tony and Marla back here gabbing about the art of building science. I know that sounds kind of dry.
It really isn't, though. It's exciting.
We make anything exciting.
True. I will give you that.
This is the fun of hanging out with the eye pigs. We're really going to go for that one today, aren't we?
Oh, wow.
Okay, if you didn't catch it earlier, it's not really about pigs. It's intellectual partners in green. Fair enough, right?
That's fair enough. We're just going to leave it there.
I know.
I don't want to get down into the mud with this one.
Okay. Never mind. So we were talking earlier about how important it is to have a healthy environment in a house and how building science can play a big part of that. So I know in my experience, the building envelope, which is basically what protects you from the outside elements, your wall structures, your roof, et cetera, that's your building envelope or the skin. Yeah, it is like our skin.
It's the skin of the house.
Yeah, it is the skin of the house. And but that's where there's been a lot of technological improvements, material improvements, new stuff on the market.
Well, not only
that's a huge piece because you don't want to replace that.
Not only that, I mean, it's just techniques of framing the houses now have changed to be a little bit more efficient with both materials. Also, they're cognizant of the fact that your building envelope is where you get your greatest loss of energy in the house.
Absolutely.
Through heat transfer, through
leakage,
whether it's poor design, poor framing, not caulking, whether it's poor insulation. This is also where you can have your mold transfer.
Right.
You know, so there's so much that goes on that we don't think about it. But if you look at the house and the home and think of it as the building envelope is the true skin of the house, just like my skin protects me, my skin's where my heat transfer happens.
Yep.
When I'm hot, I sweat. When I'm cold, I shiver. It's the exact same thing with a house.
And you have controlled openings into and out of that system.
That is true.
So you may have like your mouth for intake and your eyes for sight. So again, same equivalence with a home.
You doors have and windows.
Doors and windows. Or exhaust.
Exhaust, like HVAC, you know, the air intake, skylights, all of that.
Right. So one of the very first and probably most critical pieces of building science is to understand, and this is where builders, architects, consultants really come into play, is they can help put together the optimal building envelope for that structure that's going to fit the needs of whomever is going to live there.
True. You know, are you going to, you know, first thing is, how is your builder going to build the envelope?
Right.
Is it going to be more your traditional 2x4s and 2x6s?
Ooh, we're getting techie here.
With, you know, it's all lumber.
I'm just kidding you.
Is it going to be, you know, just regular insulation? Is it going to be spray foam? Or is he going to do something that's a little bit more advanced? Is he going to do a structurally insulated panel system,
yeah.
Also known as a SIPS. These are cool because you have recycled styrofoam encased in wood.
Or through the steel and styrofoam, or not styrofoam, actually polystyrene, I believe.
Yeah, the foam.
Yeah.
The foam and structural steel, same thing. It's a very similar, but it's a whole lot lighter and a whole lot cooler.
So there's a lot of options, and, well, the internet makes researching anything possible. But there's a lot of things to know out there. So I really encourage people to find a builder or to find someone that's a professional in the industry that has a similar perspective to them. Because there's a lot of right ways to do this.
There's a lot of right ways to do it. And I think you have to find somebody that matches your philosophy.
That's the number one thing I teach when I am teaching homeowners how to talk with a builder or remodeler about green, is find somebody that shares your values and your philosophy so you're on the same wavelengths.
Because if you're the person that believes on, I want energy efficiency, I want clean air and ventilation, I want, you know, whatever it is, you match what your wish list is to the builder that believes in those things first, the architect that believes in those things first, the interior designer that believes in those things, and you're going to have a better finished product.
Absolutely. I'm not sure that the home industry has been, I think a lot of us have gone into it saying, well, there's the product, I can choose what I need to buy. I don't necessarily have a lot of input into the process.
Right.
And I think that's really changing right now.
It is.
I think there's a lot more, and I think part of that's just the entire culture of business changing to be more driven by the consumer in companies understanding that they can't just go out there and dump a product on the street and say, here it is, buy it or don't. I think a lot more companies are focused now on having a product that's shaped to what their consumers are saying they want, or are indicating through their behaviors what they may want, because a lot of times we don't know what it is, but we act a certain way to reflect that. I don't know anyone that I've talked to that tells me they want a home that is unhealthy, uncomfortable, and unsafe.
No, I usually don't hear that combination either.
So, you know, you just don't see too many people saying, well, I want to go into that house so that it'll make me sick. And my kid's asthma will get worse, Mm-hmm. And anyway, and I'm exaggerating, but I think we just don't think about it as consumers a lot of times. We just, unfortunately, kind of assume that it must be okay.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because maybe prior to the recession, we didn't really think about this. It wasn't mainstream, at least in our market, as much. Whereas when the recession hit, you had fewer of these houses, these just traditional built houses being put on the market.
And what was the one part of the market that did well through the recession?
The green homes.
Yep.
Green built certified homes continued to chug along during the recession. They never, you know, shot up in high demand, but they also never floored.
They didn't tank.
They just kept going. And it seemed like while you had this massive paradigm shift of just construction in general and how builders were producing homes, you had this secondary paradigm shift of people researching and saying, well, if there's not that much inventory out there and I'm going to have to build a house anyway, I'm going to build a healthier version of this house. I'm going to build a house that fits more with my lifestyle and my philosophy and truly get the more healthy environment for myself and my family.
We'll have to do another show on the demographics of that and what the market behaviors have been
for
green homes, because that's something I actually researched quite a bit. And it's pretty fascinating to watch what's happened with that. But that a lot of that is what happened. As people understand more and they have more resources to understand more, they're asking more questions. So if you're listening to this, don't be scared to ask questions. Don't be scared to ask for what you want and to put it out there. And if the builder or people you're talking to don't get what you're saying, go talk to some other folks, because there are people in pretty much all parts of the country that understand this. And if not, at least get on the internet and find some folks that can help you understand this.
You know, and today we're building more technologically advanced houses because as technology increases and our ability to do the research at our fingertips increases, we want to make sure that the homes that that builder provides fits how you want to live. And if they can't do it, somebody else can.
And that's great advice. I have no idea how this time slot goes so incredibly fast when we're talking. We have just really touched the surface of the art of building science, the art of BS. And this is going to be a lot more conversation. So do stay tuned on The Green Gab with Marla and Tony. And we'll talk more about why green matters to you, your family, and friends. Have a great day.